Gigit, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates.
Hester's here to help us out with our gardens today, talking about fruit, and specifically fruit growing in smaller spaces. Hester, welcome to Dig It. Thanks
Hello.
For joining us.
Thank you.
So the theme for this month, fruit for small spaces. We are enjoying a very late summer happening this year. 24 degrees is the top temperature today. Mm. It's October. Does it not know? Now, it's apparently a rather ideal time for thinking about planting around about now for next year. Is that right?
It absolutely is. Now, we've often talked about planting shrubs or trees or hedges and things, and actually it's a great time of year to put fruit in as well. And so I would say knock yourselves out. Have a look. There are heritage varieties, there's new varieties, loads of choice for small spaces. And you can go and taste the fruit now. There's loads of tasting events going on. And you can order them then to be delivered as bare root plants to be planted later on in the autumn or in the winter. And these tend to be cheaper than buying them as potted plants and leaf, but there's loads of potted plants and leaf as well. And some of them are on deal in your nearest garden centre as well.
So with so many different options, how do I choose where to begin?
See, I would start with the basics. What do you like to eat? Just start with what you and your family and your friends like to eat.
Well, I'd be difficult there. I'd say bananas, but I don't think they're going to grow very well around here.
You can grow them in a greenhouse.
Okay. No, I actually like all different kinds of fruit. So I mean, what's easy? Let's start there.
Yeah, so if you like everything, or equally if there's something you really hate, don't grow that.
No,
yeah. Because it's just pointless. So look around your space then. So have a look at your site. Like, is it sloping? Is it flat? Does it get a lot of sunshine? What's your soil like? If you're on really heavy clay, some things won't like that, for example.
Right.
What situation? How much sun do you get during the day? How much sun do you get during the summer? How much sun do you get in the winter? And how much time do you have?
Also, I guess if I want to put it in a pot...
Yes. But
do I want to put it in a pot? Do I want to put it in the ground? This is going to change things quite dramatically.
It does. And there's so much choice now for potted options. It's really fantastic. So in most books and in most catalogues, fruit is divided into top fruit, like apples, pears, cherries, and soft fruit, otherwise known as bush fruit, things like blueberries, raspberries and stuff like that. And then there's the oddities like rhubarb that we treat as fruit, but actually we're eating the stems. They're not botanically the fruit.
Got it.
Yeah. However, if you're going to grow in a pot, these distinctions don't really matter apart from knowing where to look in the catalogues, because actually you're going to treat them all the same because they're all going to be in a pot. So it doesn't really matter what happens to them after that. So I would say once you've thought about where you could maybe fit fruit in, we can then... start planning.
Is there any reason that I shouldn't necessarily plant it right next to flowers, for example? If I've got a bed, is there a reason that I shouldn't mix other than maybe me forgetting?
I love mixing things together. Yeah. And actually, if you're growing a teeny tiny patio fruit tree, they look wonderful in with flowers because they're little. They're really small. Most of them don't get to more than 1.5 metres.
Nice.
So you get this nice vertical accent and shape in a border that could otherwise be very horizontal and flat.
What about if you are doing something on a balcony? Like, we're looking at small space.
Teeny, teeny, teeny.
Sure.
Strawberries. I have this very cute little Alexandria strawberry. It's called a four season strawberry. So it keeps on flowering from kind of May, right? I mean, this one's got two cute little flowers and a bunch of little tiny fruit on it, and the fruit are weeny. They're like alpine strawberries, very, very, very flavorful, very fragrant, and they will take the most remarkable amount of, I'm not going to call it neglect, let's go a step back from neglect, let's call it forgetful management. So you can stuff them into a pot now, and there's loads of them in the shops, and mix them maybe with pansies or even underplant them with bulbs, and you'll have the prettiest display all through the winter and right through next year. And you will never, ever, ever never need to dig them up until there are so many of them in the pot that you need to split them and give them away to your friends.
I can confirm now that Hester is wielding a strawberry plant. That's how I'm going to describe this. Will that provide edible fruit?
Yes.
It's a very small pot. There's only a few inches around.
Well,
it's a tiny pot.
It's a tiny little pot. And actually, if we're sneaky, sneaky, we can look. There's actually already three, maybe four plants in here. So when you plant this, you know that you're going to get probably 50 to 100 grams from each plant already. And so by next spring, these are going to be five or six plants.
Separate them right out, spread them out, let them have their own space and roots.
Yeah, exactly. Make more babies.
Okay, so then if we're now looking at bigger plants on a balcony, we're happier to take up some more space.
Yeah.
Where do we go?
There are loads of miniature fruit trees. And there are more and more and more and more. All of the garden centres have got them. And some of them are on deal at the moment. Go get them. So I would say if you would look for something self-fertile, ideally, so you don't need two, because you can't be faffing around with two of anything. Go for self-fertile and go for as disease-resistant as possible. Because if you've got a small space and you're on a balcony, you probably then don't have, or you don't want to grow inorganically. You don't want to be spraying because you just don't have space to store all the stuff.
Yes.
So I would look for apples. Croquella is gorgeous, bright red apples, not huge, very fragrant, really crunchy, delicious.
And they'll grow in a pot.
They'll grow in a pot and they produce from year two, which is brilliant.
Nice. I like that. That's fairly
very
quick.
Nice.
Quick to
pears,
see results.
Yeah, pears I'd look for either of the gardens, Garden Gem, Garden Pearl, both really good. Cold resistant down to minus 20. So honestly, just stick them outside. As long as you keep watering them, if you're going through a dry spell in the winter, they'll be absolutely fine. Garden Gems red and Garden Pearl's got green pears. Both of them are juicy and really delicious, having tasted quite a few of these. Do you know what does really well in a pot? Really surprisingly, plums.
I wouldn't have thought that.
No, me neither, because plum trees are usually quite big. And you need a ladder. Not off these ones who don't, because they're grown on super, super, super dwarfing rootstock. So they're not grown on their own roots. They're grafted onto something. And they're intended to be mini, mini, mini. So there's one called Gold Dust, which is a Mirabelle. Yeah. Now, you're not going to get 20 kilos off these. You're probably going to get 2 to 5
right.
kilos. But honestly, I don't want to eat more than 5 kilos of Mirabelles. Not by myself.
How many plums can you eat?
Yes, well, quite a lot, it turns out. So this particular Goldust was bred by the Zyger Patio Breeding Program in California. And so this one actually isn't grafted. It's very cute. It says max 1.8. And the one I saw from the breeding program is 1.5.
Meters tall.
Tiny.
Meters That's
tall.
What we're talking about. Okay.
Little teeny, teeny, tiny. And then there's Mirror Blue, which is adorable. It's a little bit smaller and it has blue, little blue plums. Really good in tarts, really good in jams. Gorgeous. Very pretty.
I don't know if I've got the patience to wait until the fruit is edible. I just
watching
it grow and then go, oh, I did that too soon.
They're very lovely. And the last ones are cherries. There's one called Garden Bing, which I've seen is very widely available in Switzerland, everywhere. And it's got loads of deep red, tasty fruit. And I've tasted fruit from them and they really are delicious and tiny, the same size, in 1.5 meters tall, which is perfect for a pot. The only thing you need to be careful is that they're weighted in case it's in a windy situation, they blow over. That's it.
And you've got to be prepared to water them. Fruits are gonna need water.
They absolutely need to be watered. Yeah,
stay tuned. Soon we'll be talking about apricots, figs and nectarines all doing well in pots. Stay tuned, because Hester's got some top tips for those. Also, we'll be looking at your questions about fruit growing for balconies and in gardens. Keep them coming in. studio@worldradio.ch. Hester's here for Dig It.
Dig It, sponsored by Schillinger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Schillinger, let your inspiration grow.
Schillinger have very kindly given us a lovely little lemon tree to give away on the show today, as we are talking about fruit and planting fruit in small spaces. So a lovely little citrus tree to give away. Here's my question for you. What are you going to do with any of this fruit? That's a very simple question. What are you going to do with it? And eat it can indeed be one of the options. Put it in a pie, make some jam with it, etc. You can go for it. I've got a little apple tree that I inherited I've got a very, very small, and I mean like it's a parking space, but it's got an apple tree on it. And I guess I need to do something with these apples, because I don't. They just fall on the ground and then I pick them up before all the wasps are attracted to the area. But I need to do something. If anyone's got any suggestions, I'll take them. Hester, what would you do with an
apple?
Crumble.
It's the season for it.
It's crumble, isn't it?
And maybe apple cake with. Do you like cinnamon?
Yes.
Apple cake with cinnamon and a bit of ginger.
Is there anywhere that I can just take all of these apples and then I get a cake back? You know, I just like deliver them off and
just,
go.
Just bring them to the office and look hopeful.
Just see if anyone wants to take them on. Okay. Hester, we've been taking a little look at some of the quote unquote regular fruits that you can grow in small spaces, even apples and pears on a balcony. But how about something a little more unusual? Let's go down the route of something that, I don't know, is it more complicated because it's unusual?
Probably I would describe it as maybe not exotic, but certainly likes warmer conditions, and you might not think you can put it in a pot. So how about an apricot?
You can put apricots in pots?
You can, and there's quite a few varieties that love being in pots. There's one called Aprigold or Compactor. There's another one called the Brilliant Amber Pixie with an X. Pixie.
Cute.
It's very cute. Teeny tiny. Compactor was produced at the New Jersey Research Station. Super hardy. Definitely down to minus 20. They haven't tried it below that, but they guarantee it down to then. I don't think it's going to get colder than that locally here.
No, I mean, that's perfect, actually. For
yes.
This. If you know that it's going to get down to minus 20, it'll be fairly hardy if you're only down at sort of minus 4 or something.
Yeah, I think it would be just fine. And also, one of the things I like about that particular one is that its fruits are what are called free stones. So you can get cling stone, you get free stone. So that basically means that the stone comes away from the flesh easily.
Oh, so easier to eat. I guess you want to consider this for your fruit.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth a thought, definitely. And so if it says free stone, get that one, I'd say. Super good disease resistance. And apricot's really pretty. It's got these very pinky red leaves, which then go green. And I think if you've got something in a pot, it's nice to have something that does some more than just one thing. So does it have pretty leaves? Do the fruit stay on it for a long time? You don't have to pick them all at once. All of those sorts of things.
Is it going to be nice to look at?
Yeah, is it a nice shape? Yeah. Absolutely.
We did mention as well that they like a warmer climate. I guess this is good if you've got a balcony. It's maybe not necessarily going to have a lot of options for like different shady spots, etc. So, I mean, can this take full sun?
Yes, it will be very happy in full sun.
Brilliant. Yeah. We mentioned figs.
Oh, yeah. So there's loads of dwarf varieties. And there's one that's got a wonderful name. It's called Little Miss Figgy. Which I think is fab. It's also called Figality, which I like less. It's got two names. And it's just won an award at Groot Green Plus, the big Dutch plant fair. Super cropper from its first year, which is unusual because some fruit trees, particularly some of the bigger ones, you need to wait 3 to 5 years to get fruit. And I personally can't be bothered with that. It's far too long to wait. First year cropping, yes, please. I'll have that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's great.
If you're very impatient, like
which
me.
I am, which is terrible in my job. I'm well aware, but...
Gardens. Okay, so then also nectarines are an option.
There's one called Nectarella. Isn't that lovely? Nectarella. Might be a new lovely name for a little girl. Nectarella. It's an ideal plant for a pot. It's self-fertile, small, and loads of fruit from the first year. You get 3 to 5 kilos off it, which I think is enormous.
Why are we talking? Nectarines okay, but peaches are not.
No, so peach leaf curl is endemic in this region, and it's annoying, and it's unsightly, and it can affect your peach production. So by all means, get a peach, and there are loads of them, but you will get peach leaf curl. And it's spread by aphids, and there is nothing you can do about it.
Oh, no. And how do you see if you've got it? If someone right now is thinking, I've got a peach plant on the balcony.
It looks like somebody put your leaves through a shredder. They go really wriggly and bumpy.
Ah.
Very unattractive.
Okay. All right. So that's why peaches are not easy here. What about if you're trying to grow something up a wall? If you've got a very small plot and you're looking at maybe covering part of the side of your house or looking at maybe like covering part of your balcony.
So I'd say... If the bottom of your pot can then go in the ground, so if you can take a paving slab off, then great. So things like grapes, things like some of the self-fertile kiwis, like isai, would also be fabulous. Now, I would assume that in most cases people can't do that. And the plants that are recommended for patio growing, they go up to 6 metres. That, to me, is too big. For a patio, I want something that doesn't get more than 2 metres up a trellis. So I would look at maybe something like a blackberry, actually.
And those can go in a pot?
They can go in a pot. And there are thornless ones that will grow very happily up a trellis. You have to tie them in a bit, but they're very vertical plants. They don't mind at all.
So blackberries are good. Any other kind of climbing fruit?
So I would look at some of the really dwarf kiwis. They're worth it. I would say. Yeah.
Do they give you mini kiwis?
They give you mini kiwis.
Like, are they the size of grapes?
Yeah, exactly. And you don't need to peel them. You can eat the skin as well.
That's good.
Because all other kiwis, you need a male and a female, or you don't get fruit.
Ah, controversially, I eat the skin of whole-size kiwis.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. It's quite nice. It's bitter. You just wash them like an apple, and then I will eat the skin of a kiwi. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Hester's looking at me very suspiciously now. She adjusts me no longer.
Yeah.
is our friendship over?
Yeah, that was it. I'm off.
See the red flag. All right. If anyone is looking for more suggestions, there is a little bit of a top tip, and it is something that you are doing outside of this radio show, Hester. What's that?
So it's the Swiss Gardening School. We've got a course this week, this Thursday, 9:30 to 11:30, and also again in the evening, 7:30 till 9:30, and we'll run it again in the spring. It's called Fruit for Small Spaces. Sign up online, swissgardeningschool.ch. And then later this month, we've got Autumn Garden Glow, which is what to do right now and what to plant in your garden right now to make it look fabulous all the way up to Christmas, and that's in the evening only next on the October the 19th. And Find Your Garden Style on the 26th of October, also in the evening.
Coming up, we'll have Erica's question about kumquats. Stay tuned.
Dig It, sponsored by Schilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Schilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Hester, I've got plenty of questions for you. Are you ready to talk about kumquats?
Oh, yeah.
Great. Erica sent in a message and said, the seeds I have planted for lemon, citrus, cedar and kumquat have all grown. When do I need to repot each of the seedlings? And once mature, will I need to graft them to something to obtain fruit for 5 or 6 years from now? Many thanks from Erica.
Wow. Well, having seen the photos, they are fab.
She did send photos. Thank you, Erica.
I think, Erica, bravo. Let's start going well done on
done well.
Growing them from pips. Excellent. So I would repot all of them this autumn. Now is a super time to do it. They're still an active root growth. They're not too stressed. It's not too hot. The light levels are still pretty good. So yes, repot them. The one in the yellow pot specifically needs to be in a considerably bigger pot or it's going to tip over and then you will be very sad. That would be awful. So the tricky thing is going to be overwintering them because they like really as much sunshine as they can possibly get. And they're happier with a cooler temperature than maybe people are, like 10-ish, 10 to 15, which is cooler than most apartments. And they'll need less water. And I would also keep an eye out for pests. Winter is exactly the time when things like spider mites and some of the woolly aphids can really get established without you noticing.
Ah. Oh, I didn't realise that winter is the time. I thought
because we're indoors. All the plants are indoors. Things can multiply. It's often quite warm and they go, woohoo, excellent. And we're not necessarily looking because we're not watering as much.
True.
The question about grafting is, so lots of citrus and lots of other plants are grafters. The reason is for grafting for better and earlier fruit bearing. Also could be so for drought tolerance, all sorts of other things. So the issue is that your pip-grown seeds are already not necessarily going to come true from the fruit that they came from because there was another parent that you don't know.
Ah.
So it could have been another of the same variety. It might not be. So it's going to be a bit of a surprise what you're growing. So if you're desperate to try grafting and the radio is pretty much 1,000,000% not the right medium to explain how to graft, but basically you take the stem of another tree and you put a slip of the new plant, your pot grown plants, into the other tree.
Mm-hmm.
And you use its root system to support the plant. There is a risk that you can lose both, which is why I've done loads of grafting in my past. I hate it and I'm really bad at it. I'm quite slipshod and they usually die.
So something that is going to need practice.
Yeah.
If you are very, very attached to these little seedlings now,
maybe just let them grow up as big trees. And when they get to bigger, then you can sacrifice a couple of branches. Maybe when you're pruning or something, then you can try it. But otherwise, just let them be.
Okay.
And then when they make fruit eventually, in probably 5 to possibly 10 years' time, then it's going to be a lovely surprise.
Nice. Okay, Erica, I hope that helps. Moving on, Bruce has said, my daughter is mad about cherries and we thought it would be nice for her to have her own cherry tree in the garden. What can you suggest? I don't have an age for her daughter specifically, so we're just going to have
to guess. I'm assuming that it's a person rather than a teeny tiny toddler who can't climb a ladder. So I would say I would always go for a dwarf or a semi-dwarf tree in the garden, just because if you go for a massive full-sized one, you are going to need ladders. And that's a nuisance to be picking things. And also then you've got kilos and kilos and kilos of cherries. I don't know how many cherries Bruce's daughter can eat. Maybe it's 20, but it's probably more than anybody else wants to deal with. So I would go for a smaller size then so that you and she can find it easy to harvest them. So either in a dwarf to start off in a pot or a small tree, and go for a self-fertile one so you don't need a pollination partner. Stella is usually cited as the best self-fertile, but Garden Bing's great as well.
Hope that helps. We have also got Lynn, who said, my dietitian told me to eat lots of blueberries, but they're really expensive. Can I grow my own?
Yes, you can, absolutely can. So I'd say you probably need a range of different plants to give you crops from early to later on in the season. They all need acidic soils, don't forget that. So when you plant them, they need to go in special soil. Ask at the garden centre for terre de bruyère if you're in the French-speaking part. So I'd go for maybe Duke, which is an early July cropper, Blue Aroma, which is early August, and Blue Dessert, which is end of August. And if you'd like to freeze them at the same time and they freeze really, really well, then just double up on your bushes and eat off one or eat off half and freeze the rest. It works super well.
Just looking up now, 10 proven health benefits of blueberries. I'm just trying to work out why the dietitian said...
Probably an easy access antioxidant, I would imagine. And they're delicious and they're nicer than kale.
There you go. Lots of fibre, vitamin C, vitamin K and manganese in there.
Yeah, they're really good for you. Great. And they're dead easy to grow, honestly.
There you go, says Hester. Fingers crossed that they are as easy for you, Lynn. We've also got Judy, who messaged in and said, I've always had a small raspberry patch in my garden, about 4 plants. But the past 3 years, they've turned brown before the fruit could mature. It seems that this is due to insects deep in the soil, which are impossible to eradicate. Could I try planting the raspberries in a flower pot instead to avoid contact with the soil? And if so, how big should those pots be? Can I place them in the same spot, placing paving stones between the pot and the soil to avoid any contact with the soil in the original patch? So Judy's question essentially is, can she kind of like dig up some raspberries that are in the soil and then put those same ones into pots?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it depends where the issue is coming from. So if it is genuinely in your soil, it is extremely likely that you're going to bring it with you if you dig them up. So short of sterilising the soil and washing every single fragment off your raspberry bushes, don't bother. If you really, really don't want to put them anywhere else. So there's a bunch of issues. Yes, problems can build up in the soil if you grow things from the same family or the same thing in the same spot year after year after year. Secondly, raspberries get exhausted after about 5 years, generally. That same plant will get, which may also be the issue here. And you can run out of essential nutrients in the soil because those plants have just used them all up and you haven't renewed it at all. So it could well be that. I would give raspberries a rest in the soil in that part of the garden for 3 years, at least. Put in a lot of new compost. You can plant almost anything else as long as they're not raspberry cousins. Then that's fine. You could try buying some fresh disease-free ones and putting them in pots and put them on top of slabs. But it seems like a lot of work for something that might not give you the result you want.
Judy, hope that helps. There is no easy answer. We'll come back to more questions. Hester, stay with us.
Dig It, sponsored by Schillinger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Schillinger, let your inspiration grow.
Got a couple of questions that have come in. Also, your answers to our competition. We are giving away a citrus tree, which I incorrectly said earlier was a lemon tree, but citrus, of course, is not necessarily lemon. So we're giving away from Schillinger Garden Centre a very lovely citrus tree. But this is actually a calamondin tree. I've got the specifics now. And so that's oranges. That's little oranges.
Yeah, they're lovely. Right? Smells amazing.
Okay, great. So that's what we're giving away on the show this morning. And lots of you are answering our questions about what would you do with any fruit that you grow? What would you actually do with it? So Sue has said, I've just made green tomato an apple chutney. Apples fallen from the tree, added a couple of red chilies from last year's massive harvest, plus raisins and sugar, and it's delicious. Yes, Sue, you can send some in. Yes, it sounds amazing. Ash has said, This is the most unusual answer, and I was not expecting it. I would use the lemons from my lemon tree, already got a lemon tree, to build an electrochemical battery.
Yeah.
All you need, apart from the lemon, is a nail and a copper penny. Insert the nail on one side of the lemon and the penny in the other. Make sure they don't touch inside the lemon. Connect them to a complete circuit, and you have a lemon battery.
That's a brilliant idea, and I love it very much.
It's not what I was expecting.
No, but it's awesome.
What are you going to do with the fruit? Elizabeth said, I'd put them in my, I'd put lemons in my gin and tonic. That's what I would do. Love that answer. Erica has said, I would always have lemons to have lemon honey and ginger. Especially good over this season if you're not feeling very well. And Jennifer says lemon meringue pie is what she would make. But it doesn't have to be lemons. What fruit? Would you do something with making jams or...
I think if I had loads of oranges, I would cut them into slices and dry them to put on wreaths for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
And they smell wonderful.
All right.
And you can, and then they're biodegradable and you can put them in the compost.
I just want to go back to Sue's chutney.
Just sounds really good.
I think we need some proof.
We're going round to Sue's now.
Yeah.
We'll be round in a bit.
Keep them coming in, though, in terms of what you would do with any different fruit that you grow. What would you actually then go and do with it? Don't just watch it and then have it fall off and lay on the ground like I do with a little apple tree that's in my garden. Don't do that. That's a terrible idea. Anyway, if you want to get in the draw for that Shilliger citrus tree. It's a little tiny orange tree. It's very adorable. As we talk more about fruit in small spaces, Hester, you had a question that's come in.
I do. I've got one from Stella who says, her apple tree has flowers and some fruit on it right now. What is going on?
Why is that? I don't understand.
It's confused. It's confused.
Can a plant get confused?
Absolutely. Well, it's been very, very hot and dry over the summer, so a lot of plants kind of stopped growing. And in some cases, their fruit all dropped off because it was too dry or they didn't form properly. And so they're having another go.
So it's a confused plant.
It's a confused plant.
It thinks it's spring, but also it thinks it's autumn.
It also thinks it's autumn. So just enjoy the spectacle. There's probably not loads. And make sure you feed it next spring because it will have wasted a load of effort making more flowers and not making fruit out of them.
That's hilarious. Enjoy it because it's probably a one-off.
Yeah, it's very pretty. Never mind.
Great. Edward has messaged in saying, I've got a relatively small back garden, but it's about 200 square metres. Wow. Mm. Okay, all right. Oh, decent. In a built-in Geneva countryside, there'll be a patio. Other than that, the space is empty. As part of the building project, I can plant two trees. The garden is south-facing, gets a lot of light. I'm trying to consider what trees would make sense. People have made various suggestions, such as a Japanese Acer, a plane tree, a silver birch, a Prunus, a Sorbus Vilmarini, and an Indian lilac tree, amongst any others. But Hester, what are your thoughts? Also to note, there are some water pipes about 3 or 4 metres below the surface in that part of the garden.
Okay, so I would start by asking your commune if they've got a list of forbidden or preferred trees. That's a good way to start.
Very good start.
Because some trees sort of count for more in the compensatory planting, which is what this will be. So in Geneva Canton, if you don't live there and you're not aware of it, if you want to take a tree down as part of a development, then the people who buy the houses on the development, or you do as part of your own development, you have to plant trees to compensate, fair enough, with the trees that were taken down.
Huh.
And this then is how you end up buying a house where you have to plant 2 trees. And there may also be restrictions. So you need to talk to your developer before you choose trees, because they may have already said, oh, we promised to plant 2 limes or 2 something else's. So that's a couple of things to consider. The other thing is there are legal restrictions. You can't plant any tree closer than 2 metres to the boundary.
Yes.
And I wouldn't plant it close to your house either.
Because roots and foundations.
Yeah. So bearing those kind of legal and thoughtful restrictions in mind, I would also start with the end in mind. What do you want this tree to do for you? So do you want it to provide shade? In which case, then maybe you want a specific shaped tree that comes to the nursery that has been grown to make shade. Or is it, what shape do you want? Do you want it to be a particular colour? Do you want it to do something at a certain time of year? Do you want it to be bird friendly? And do you have any allergies? So that should help kind of narrow your list down. Once you've done that, I would go and look at a nursery. Go to somebody like Jacquet near here or Pépinier Genevoise and go to them and say, what have you got? Because if you're only going to have 2 trees, you better love them.
And can I sniff it and see if I sneeze?
Yes. And do you love its shape? And do you think it's going to be beautiful? Rather than choosing something out of a catalogue, which might not look like that.
Mm. Okay. And what if I want, if my stipulation is I want it to have a strong enough branch that I can put a hammock.
Put a swing on it.
I want a swing or a hammock.
Hammock's easier because that is usually hung on the trunk. A swing is more difficult. So it needs to be a decent size. So trees are sized either by pot size, so you'll see it 150 litres or whatever, or by stem size. So nothing under probably 12 centimetres diameter, I'd say.
All right. I don't know if that is your stipulation, Edward, but I've...
But it's a good one.
Put mine
it's
in
very
there.
Important.
Other than this, though, what is good to do in the garden right now, Hester? What is an October activity that we should all be turning to our gardens or
I would be thinking about putting in some winter salads, and there are loads of them. A surprising number that are good right through to kind of March next year. So any of the lamb's lettuces, any of the cabbages, if you haven't already put them in, you could put them in as plants rather than as seeds, or any of the winter hardy spinaches will do absolutely brilliantly. You could probably get a last crop of radishes, to be honest, if you're quick.
Before the winter?
Yeah, now. Definitely. They're 2 to 4 weeks. They'll be fine. And if you're not putting anything in, think about maybe a cover crop or a green manure, which will maybe add nitrogen or do something useful to your plants as well, or even some of the wildflower mixes. Or if you're feeling particularly excited, maybe some bulbs for cutting. Wait for the bulbs to get really cheap towards the end of the season and stuff them in. The other thing you can think about is putting in for spring bulbs, and then that is really things like crocuses, daffodils, tulips, anything like that. And if you're looking for something a bit more unusual, go and talk to Pontus Walston, who has a beautiful show garden at Etoile. Message him on Pontus Walston's plants and ask him about what's in flower at the moment in his garden. It is just lovely.
We've mentioned him on the show before. All right. So PontusWalstonPlants.com is his website. Check
gorgeous.
That one out. All right. Thank you so much, Hester, for talking us through what we need to do in the gardens right now in this month. And I'm going to leave the competition open for another few minutes. We'll say until 10 o'clock. If you would like to go into that draw to win the citrus tree, courtesy of Shilliger Garden Centre, just tell me what you're actually going to do with the fruit once you've grown it. We've got some more of your answers that have just come in. Sarah said, I've made peach jam and peaches in syrup this year from the fruit on our peach tree for use all throughout the winter, and also red tomato and ginger chutney for lemons. I would use having that with pancakes. She's doing all right with the peaches.
Mm.
We discussed earlier how difficult it can be, so well done on you if you're doing it all right. And then also Rhodey says, we've got a prune tree. We harvested a lot recently, made some jam. Mm. Keep those answers coming in. What are you up to with the fruit? What do you actually doing or making with it? We'd love to know. studio@worldradio.ch or 939 on the text. Start your message off with WRS.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.